Now, somebody might be wondering this morning what I want for my birthday. And I am 3 decades old on Friday. Sounds older that way, right? But, you know, some might, well, what do you want for your birthday, Pastor? I already have it. By the time I stand up here, I'm so thankful that I'm a pastor of a church of all. Because I don't visit churches, I talk to pastors, they tell me all about their problems. And, you know, every time I hear those problems, I say, Lord, I'm so thankful I don't have a church like that. I'm so thankful that our church people love the Lord. And we have our own set of problems, I understand that. We're not, you know, we're not perfect. Amen? Man, I'm not perfect either. But I'm so thankful that we have the people that we have the church family that we have. And so that's a great gift to me. One of the greatest gifts that anyone can ever give their pastor, I'll let you know this, is that when you come to me and say, Pastor, that really helped me. I learned something. That's a gift to me. Before I get all teed, Galatians chapter 6 this morning. And so that's what I want for my birthday, and that's what I already have. So thankful for that. Thankful for you all. And so we're in the Christmas season. However, this is not a Christmas message this morning. I have to wait till next week for that. Run out of messages if you start too early. I did that one year. Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Read verses 9 and 10. And this morning, how many of you are tired this morning? Don't raise your hand. Just think about it for a moment. Yeah, you're tired this morning. Or maybe you were tired one day this week and you got up and it was... Phone not on? Is it on? Maybe. Hey, I know we give birthday a red light. So we can hook that in the back. That's great. If you want to get one of those and put it in for me, because I know how to do that. But how many of you are just woken up morning and you're like, oh, another day? I don't know if that's every day in the Army, but I don't know. But you just stand up, or you wake up, your alarm's off, you know, your cell phone's doing its little cheerful tone to try and wake you up in a night way, right? And you wake up, or the baby's crying, or something's happening. You're just weary. You're worn out, and you've been doing, working hard, and so I don't know if I can make it today. I don't know if I can go on today. This morning, and a message entitled Encouragement for the Weary. Encouragement for the Weary. Galatians chapter 6. We'll look at verses 9 and 10 this morning. Let's all stand in respect for the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have before opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless this message this morning. Lord, that you would encourage our hearts if we're weary. And Lord, there are times that we get weary in work. There are times that we get weary in doing the right thing. And Lord, we're tempted to do the wrong thing because it seems they have it so much easier. And Lord, that is such a lie that so many people believe, and the devil does a good job at selling it, Lord. But we pray this morning that we would not be weary in well-doing, that we would be encouraged to keep going. And Lord, that we would look to thee for sustaining strength. I pray that you would bless us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Encouragement for the weary. These two verses are verses that we know and are very enlightening verses. In verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, in order to be weary, you have to be doing something, right? You know, may we think of the word weary, think of maybe some dictionary definitions of it. You know, and some people will say that they are weary of something. They are tired of something. And the definition we're looking for is that someone who is given all of their strength, has given all their mental, emotional, spiritual strength, their physical strength, all they have, and they are tired. Now, as we can't be tired, maybe some people are tired of sitting on the couch, maybe. And they say, well, I'm weary of sitting on this couch, okay? We're not talking about that kind of weary. Now, some people would say that. I don't know how you can get tired of me. I don't know about you, but when I've had a long day, I'm thankful I have a couch. I can sit down, amen. You don't get weary of that. But sometimes we are weary in the work that we're doing, but we must be doing some work in order to be weary. Amen. And what we're looking at this morning is being weary and well
doing what's right. Weary in work for the Lord, weary in fulfilling the responsibilities that God has given to us, be it in our family or our job or church, we can become weary. And so, first of all, in order to become weary, we first have to be working. So that's number one this morning. Let us work. This verse does not apply to you if you're not working. And so many times, God's work is done by a select few. Unfortunately, that happens times. I'm thankful that we have a church that helps in that area. And many times, why they do not work is because they are discouraged from the Lord's work. They get weary and they stop and they quit. Some people work hard in their families, raising their kids, but there's a kind of discouraging time and they get weary in well-doing and they just give up. You know, especially when there's times that maybe the discipline of our children, we're going through a hard time. You know, children go through phases. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay, good. All right. I was the one. No, but your children go through phases of different things, different levels of maturity as they get older. And as they get older, they sometimes think that they know better than you at times. And there are times that we can become discouraged in that because we're trying to teach them that, but they're not getting it. They're going through the school of hard knocks a little bit, and they're not getting it. We get discouraged. Oh, maybe I'm too hard on them. Maybe I just need to just forget about that and not worry about it. There are other battles to fight, and we get weary and well-doing. That's part of the Lord's work. Amen? To raise our kids in the nurture and ministry of the Lord, that's part of the Lord's work for life. Now, and many times we look at the Lord's work as just in the church. It's important to be involved in God's house. That's important. But there's other things that we are given to do. We were going over a little bit of this on Friday night with the young people for the Bible Institute class, looking at work ethic. And that, what is work? Work is something that is not a result of the fall. Amen. God gave Adam work before the fall. Work is not an evil thing. Work is not something that we'll be allergic to. The world's philosophy of work is what? It is this, that work is a necessary evil, and my job is to do as little work as possible and get the most amount of money for it and do just what is required. That's the world's philosophy of work. That's how they view work. And that's why people, they won't show up to work on time. You know, they're 30, 40, 50 minutes late, and it doesn't bother them. You know, if that happened to me, and ingrained in me, that bothers me. I want to be on time. And if I'm not on time, it bothers me because my parents instilled in me a biblical work ethic. And I'm thankful for that. And it's important to understand what is work. Work is an effort put forth in a job that God has given to you. That's important to remember that. So whatever job that you have to provide for your family, God gave you that job, and that's God's job for you right here and now. Amen? And if God has given you a children and a family, a husband or a wife, then you have a responsibility to work for the benefit of them spiritually, emotionally, and physically in all those areas. But we have to be working, but when we're doing those tasks, we can become weary. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 2. Verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. We all have a place to fulfill in God's plan. All of us are part of God's house. All of us are part of God's plan, and each of us a job to do. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And that all of us have different jobs. All of us have different gifts. All of us have different abilities. Some of us in here, we might be able to go and change the oil in a car or go do something like that. Now, some of us might even know to check the oil. Right? If you don't know how to do it, hey, let's go to YouTube and figure out how to do it. Right? And I remember there was a place that I worked at that there was some work in there. They hadn't worked there very long. It was an oil change place. Instead of draining the engine oil, they drained the transmission. Because it was a Mustang. Because Mustangs, you can drain your transmission fluid because they race with them and do different things. A special Mustang. And drain the transmission fluid. Then put the plug back in with an impact wrench. And broke the transmission pan. $3,000 fix. Because they didn't know what they were doing. And some of us have different gifts. We know what we're doing in certain areas. And like this week, I was working on the church truck this week. because I'd never done a timing belt before a couple months ago. And hey, I got it all back together and it was too tough on the timing. That's not a big deal, right? Run okay for a while. Ran okay for a while. And so end up having to get it fixed. And you know what? I got weary and well doing working on that thing because every time I'd lined up, you know, I learned this time, I rotated around a couple of times and it would be one tooth off. Every time. And I was like, oh, and you know, I didn't throw anything. I didn't beat it up or anything, but you know, just like, you know what? Why am I working on this? Oh, I remember because we don't have the money to send it to up. And so we've got to get it fixed. And I just remembered, so, you know, you got to stick with the job until it's done. I kept doing it. And guess what? It accomplished. And someone who was out there came to me later, about 3 hours later. And I had just finished sitting there running. And he knew the trouble I was having. And he said, man, you're persistent, you. And you know, that was a compliment to me, and I gave glory to God for that because, you know, I'm thinking, well, I wanted to quit about 2 hours ago. I didn't want to finish it up, but you know, as I finished this, and then there was something that's wrong with it and something else, but we got it all fixed up. But you need working. Are we working? We are His workmanship. We are called to serve Him. We are called to serve our family. We're called to serve in different areas. And we have a burning desire in our hearts to serve the Lord. There are many types of work for the Lord. There's full-time ministry, part-time ministry, ministering to children, ministering to adults, ministering to your family. And these areas, we say, well, that's different. No, it's the same because God gave you that work. That's also number two. It's important to remember anyone can become weary. Anybody can. You know, sometimes we think, well, I'm weary, then I must be weak. Then yes, we are weak because we're human beings. We are. All of us can become weary. Doesn't matter how strong you think you are. Will become a point when you become weary. And it can be easy to become weary when we're being faithful to the Lord because the devil is going to try to take every opportunity he can to discourage you. He's going to try to take every opportunity he can to say, hey, look at this person over here. They're working the bare minimum and look at all the blessings they're getting. Look at all the things that are happening for them. Oh, it's all an illusion. It doesn't come out that way in the end. Just because it maybe looks like someone's a little ahead serving the Lord and serving himself, in the end, they come up short. Always remember that. Always in the end, they come up short. The admonition not to be weary is repeated twice in the New Testament, in Galatians and also in 2 Thessalonians. Do not be weary in doing. And we can become physically weary. We become tired due to long hours of toil. Many times our lives are busy. We can cram the Lord's work in with everything else. What do we do when we become weary? We are just overcome, and we are weary. We're just ready to throw in the towel, and we're worn out. We must ask ourselves some scriptural questions. Look at Acts 33:14. Are we working in our own strength? It is possible to carry on for a time in our own strength, to carry on in our own physical power, our own spiritual power even, to go on for a time. But we become weary. We become stale. We're no longer refreshed when we're not trusting God's strength but in our own because we're like a battery. And that we can be charged up for a time even, and we just had revival, and that was great, and that was wonderful. Amen. I was excited about it. But you know what? We charge our spiritual battery, and we get excited, and we go, woo, we're going to serve God, and then a month later, we're weary again. Why? Well, we got recharged by the Lord, but we're still not trusting in Him to renew us day by day. What does the Bible say? That the inward man is renewed day by day. We're trusting in Him. If we're walking God, we're renewed day by day by day. Exodus 33:14. And He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. It was God showing Moses that He was going to be with the children of Israel. That He was going to be with him, and that it wasn't they were going to give themselves rest. It wasn't that they were going to give themselves that position. They were going to give themselves the promised land, but that God was going to give them rest from what? They had been in Egypt for all of those years. I think it was 300 years they had been in Egypt, in slaves and toiling, and God's fulfilling the promise to them and gave them rest. And many times we look for our own rest. We look for our own strength. But if we're waiting upon the Lord, He will give us rest. Also, here's another scripture question. Look at Colossians 1:18. First of all, are we working on our own strength? Also, Are we prioritizing the Lord's work? Are we prioritizing the Lord's work? And our priorities can come out of whack. Our priorities can become skewed. And that we put emphasis on things that are not the Lord's work. We have duty to our families. Amen? Amen? All right, you're all with us. All right. We have a duty to our family. We have a duty to the Lord. And duties never conflict. If we're walking with God, we're going to find that balance. I've heard a lot of sermons different times saying that we can become out of balance, and we can. However, the solution to this is that we put certain things in a priority list from, you know, 1 to 10. God is first, and then go down through the things. I believe there's a danger in that. Because if we're following God, keeping God number one, the rest fall into place. If we're studying His Word, our duties to our families, our duty to the Lord's work, our duty to lost souls, our duty to our brothers and sisters in Christ, all of those will never conflict, be imbalanced if we're walking with God. If we walk with God day by day, we're renewed day by day, we are not going to become out of sync. If we emphasize a certain scripture, overly so, and we just focus on that one, and that we're to help the poor, and that's great, we ought to be. Amen? For you Christians do today, unfortunately. That we need to be helping those who are in need. Was it someone called me up this week? And they needed a certain amount of money to pay their electric bill. It was a lot of money. It's about $30. And they called me up and said, I know you probably get calls like this all the time. And people are just trying to get money for different things. I said, but I'll give you the account number. You can call it up. They said, Pastor, my electricity just turned off, me and my family. And I'm being paid tomorrow. Can you help me? I said, yes, I can. And was able to pay that $30 and able to get that man's lights turned back on. Because he was in need. And he'd come to us for about a month ago or months ago and needed diapers for his son. And he said, you can go buy them. I said, I want the cash money. You can just go buy them. You're more comfortable with that. We helped him out. People that are genuinely in need. But if we focus so much on that, well, we're going to put all of our efforts and our money on that. And we forget to witness to the lost. We forget to give to missions. And then we are out of balance. If we just focus on just this, and we're not focusing on sending missionaries overseas, they will help the poor in return. But lost souls is a priority, amen? And helping those in need is also part of our priorities. But if we're walking with God, we're going to have a balanced view of His Word and not going to overemphasize one part of it over another. Duties are conflict. Do we need to take a short break to regroup and charge ahead again? Is there nothing wrong with taking time away to pray and rest? For Jesus did that often in His early ministry. It is wrong to say, well, I quit my ministry for 6 months to rest and get back into it. You never will. I've had 5 people that, over the 6 years I've been here, not one of them ever went back into it. Never did. Because I know why. Many of them gone on to other places, moved to different things. I don't know why they got back into it. I offered it. Oh, no, I'm not ready. I offered it. They wouldn't get back into it. We never seen anyone get back to it. Maybe someplace has. I pray that someone has, but no one has ever gotten back into it. Not sure why. But if God is our refuge strength, according to Psalm 46, verse 1, tells us that. God is our refuge and strength. Then we will be able to go forward in God's work. And also in the Lord's work, we can become mentally weary. The pressures that we encounter in ministry can take tolls on us. The things that we encounter in our family, problems that we face at work can take a toll on us mentally. We become discouraged and weary in the good work of God. But what can we do when we are in a state? We need, of course, according to 1 Peter 5:7, we know this verse, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We cast our mental burdens upon the Lord. What happens when we get mentally overwhelmed? We just can't think about it anymore. We just can't process anymore. You know, all of us get like that. And that there's so many things going on. And I said, okay, I don't want to think about anything anymore. I just want to sit in my recliner. I don't want to think about anything. Put on some music. How many of you do that? Some of you, okay, good. I'm not the only one. Does that. And I say, you know what? I just need some good Christian music. I just need to rest a little. But as we give over our burden to the Lord, our faith will be increased as our burdens are taken over by the Lord. Give them over to the Lord. Walk with the Lord, and He will give strength. God does not want us to live in a state of stress and agitation, but He gives us peace. Isaiah 26:3. Such wonderful promises here. In times that we have been distressed, times that we have been overwhelmed, and those times come in our life. And we think, well, I must be a weak Christian. There must be something that happens to all of us. Discouragement does come. Look at Job. Discouragement came to Job. Now, it's to stay discouraged. However, who did Job turn to? He turned to the Lord. Job 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. That's an amazing promise. And that whenever you have a lack of peace, whenever there are things happen in your life that you don't know where to turn, turn to the Lord. He will give you peace. He will give you strength to make it through that situation. I've seen that over and over again. I've shared this over and over again. And something that will be etched in my mind for the rest of my days. And that my dad had a stroke, and I had flown up from Texas. It was several hours after, and I come in to the waiting room, and my brother and my sister are there, and my mom is there, and she had she still has it, Gideon New Testament, that I had seen her carry all of my life. She's sitting there reading the Psalms and the Proverbs. And you know what? Her mind was stayed on the Lord. And, you know, she might say, well, I was, you know, trying just to keep it together. She was in perfect peace and knew that God was going to take care of the situation. And just sitting there, it was a testimony because I was agitated. You know, I didn't know what was going to happen. But her mind was stayed on the Lord and she had peace. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful promise from God? It's a wonderful promise that God can give that to us. We can also become spiritually weary because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of the world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We wish they were sometimes. We wish it was that simple, but it's not. We fight against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need the whole armor of God. But anyone can be weary in a fight. But how do we keep throwing in the towel? We just take an example from the Old Testament. Look at 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 and 10. 2 Samuel 23, verses 9 and 10. David knew Saul secretly practiced mischief against him, and he said to Abithar the priest, bring hither the ephod. And then said David, O Lord God of Israel, the servant has certainly heard Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. He needed a spiritual answer from the Lord. He asked for wisdom from God, and God gave it. And when we are in a spiritual battle, when we become weary, our hands should cleave to the sword of the Spirit of the Holy Word of God. And that's 1 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Here we go. 2 Samuel 23, verse 9 and 10. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines, that they were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines till his hand was weary, and his hand gave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. He had fought the good fight. He kept fighting and going for the Lord. The Lord sustained him, and his hand clave the sword. And our hand cleave to the sword of the Spirit, the Holy Word of God. When we are weary, the first thing that we should put down is not God's Word. The first thing that we'd be already having in our hand. People say, when I get spiritually weary, I pick up the Bible. Well, we don't turn to the Bible then. We turn to the Bible for our strength so we don't get to that place. We pick it up and we keep going. And there are times that when we're tempted to drop it, oh, it's not working. No, we need to trust in God's Word. And He will give us strength to continue. He will give us strength to carry on. But I want to encourage you. Why do we get weary? Because we're not seeing the end. We're not seeing the fruit. We're not seeing the end results. And as humans, we need to see that in order to have some hope. That's only natural for us. The harvest will come. It will come. Look back at Galatians chapter 9 and verse number 10. Verse 9 and verse 10. The last part of the verse. For in due season we shall reap if we faint. What? Not. Meaning that a lot of people faint before the harvest comes in. They say, it's not worth it. I'm going to give up. And we have therefore opportunity. Let us do good to all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, fellow Christians. But if we keep going and we're working and we're weary, but we turn to the Lord for strength to keep moving forward, the harvest will come. We must be faithful in sowing and in watering and reaping. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, that some sow, some water, some reap the increase. But the harvest will come. And so, well, it doesn't seem, I seem like I'm spinning my wheels. It seems like there's not much fruit coming because of what I'm doing. You know, we can get a soul winning like that. Well, I just keep going out, but no one's getting saved. You're sowing seed. The increase will come one day. And it might not be that we know what it is until we get to heaven. Until we see what God has done in heaven. That those people, that person that you knocked on their door and you left them a track and weren't able to witness to them, or maybe they didn't hear, but they had that track in their hand, they read it and got saved. That's a harvest for you. That's a harvest. And we don't really see it. But we must be faithful, be full of faith in what God is going to do. Look at John chapter 4 and verse 37 and 38. John chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestow no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. When we were up at an event up in Waco, and they had a workshop on farming in America today. Back in 1860, 40% of the American population were farmers. Now today, the Department of Labor does not actually recognize farming as an occupation because it has fallen below 2% of the American population are farmers today. That just blew my mind. Out of all the millions of people we have, I've been over 300 million people now in America, that only less than 2% are farmers. And that there is, over the last 10 years, there has been a 30% drop of younger farmers coming in to farm. The average age of a farmer in America is 65 years old. That's the average age. And that there's 30% fewer farmers, 30 and younger, coming into the industry. What is all that? Well, I thought of that. I've thought of that in churches today. That there is a drastic reduction in the number of people my age coming and being faithful to church. There's a drastic reduction of people my age that are working faithfully in sowing the seed and farming for the Lord, doing the Lord's work. The harvest will come if we do not quit. The devil has deceived many things, and it's not worth it. The harvest will never come. It's a dead end, but it's not. And many times the devil gets us to quit right before the work is done, right before the harvest is to come in. If you're discouraged right now, you feel that the devil's really pounding on you right now, there's a reason for that, because the harvest is right around the corner. The harvest is coming if we faint not. Are you ready to quit today? Pastor, I'm ready to quit. We must resolve to work for the Lord until the bitter end, even unto death, in Revelation 2, 10. Let's look over there quickly. Last verse for this morning. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I did the work of the Lord. I did my best in raising my kids and family. I did my best in being a husband. I did my best in being a soul winner for the Lord. I did my best in being faithful to God. Faithful even unto death. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. You may be tried. Ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. talking about the end times, a message to the church at Smyrna, and that they were to endure persecution. They were to endure into the end, not in order to be saved, but because they were saved, because they had trusted in the Lord. God will bring the increase in His time and His season. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we are called to labor and be faithful. But how will you serve? Are you ready to this morning? Are you ready to throw in the towel? Are you ready to give up on serving God? Are you ready to give up on your family? Are you ready to give up on your marriage? Are you ready just to give up everything because you're weary? The question is, who will you turn to when weary? Will you turn to the Lord? Will you turn to Him and say, no, I can't give up. This is a job God has given me to do. And I must turn to the Lord for encouragement and for strength. It might be that you need a time of rest in order to be able to restore your heart and your mind and your soul before the Lord. But this morning, quitting isn't the answer. Seen so many people quit. Seen so many people, they're so close and they just give it up. They lose it all. They got weary. It's not a sin to be weary. All of us get tired. Where you turn when you do get weary is the key and the answer there. So this morning, will you turn to the Lord? Will you stay your mind upon Him? Will you say, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know. I don't have any strength. Take one more step forward. But Lord, I'm trusting in You to give me wisdom, to give me strength to finish the job.